This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The new movie, The Savages, is about an experience a lot of people go through, uprooting their own lives to take care of elderly, sick parents. My guest Tamara Jenkins wrote and directed the film. She also made Slums of Beverly Hills. In The Savages, Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman star as Wendy and John Savage, siblings who have just found out their estranged father has dementia and needs care. So Wendy leaves her cramped Greenwich Village apartment, John leaves his home in Buffalo, New York, and they meet in Sun City, Arizona, where their father has lived in a retirement community. He'd been living with his girlfriend, who paid for their home, but she's just died and left him nothing. Wendy and John take their father to a nursing home in Buffalo and try to figure out how to care for a father who didn't do a very good job taking care of them. Let's hear a scene from the movie. Wendy thinks the Buffalo nursing home they've put their father in is run down and depressing. At her insistence, they take their father to a more upscale nursing home to apply for admission. During the screening process, Wendy makes it seem as if her father is mentally more with it than he really is. Right after that, Wendy and John are outside arguing.
What'd you say to them?
I said he was pretty good, except he goes in and out every once in a while.
In and out? Wendy, the man's got dementia.
I know, but they only had beds for people who were more independent. I thought if we could just get him in there.
Why are you wasting our time on fantasies?
She said she would put him on one of the waiting lists. I mean, Jesus, I'm just doing it for Dad.
Dad's not the one that has a problem with the Valley View.
No, I'm just trying to improve the situation. Is that a crime?
There's nothing wrong with Dad's situation. Dad's situation is fine, but he's never going to adjust to it if we keep yanking him out of there. All right, and actually, this upward mobility fixation of yours, it's counterproductive and, frankly, pretty selfish.
Selfish?
Yeah, because it's not about Dad. It's about you, you and your guilt. That's what these places prey upon.
I happen to think it's nicer here.
Of course you do. Because you're the consumer they want to target. You're the guilty demographic. The landscaping, the neighborhoods of care, they're not for the residents, they're for the relatives. People like you and me who don't want to admit to what's really going on here.
Which is what, John?
People are dying, Wendy. Right inside that beautiful building right now, it's a f***ing horror show.
Tamara Jenkins, welcome back to Fresh Air. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Love the film.
Oh, thank you.
Now, your previous film, Slums of Beverly Hills, was based on your experiences growing up with a father who was a gambler and a drifter and tried to find the cheapest place in the Beverly Hills zip code so that you could go to a good public school. And I figure The Savages is based, a little bit at least, on your father, too, because in our 1998 interview, when we were talking about Slums of Beverly Hills, in talking about your father, you described memories that are so close to the movie. And I had to ask myself, like, back in 1998, when these stories were in front of your mind and you were talking about them, did you have any idea that they would be related to your next film?
What did I say?
You talked about how your father had been living with a woman and basically she was paying for everything. Then she got sick and she died and that your father had dementia and you had to take him on a plane.
I can't even believe we talked about this. That is so unnerving.
And that you had to take him from a plane from the retirement community to
what wasn't a retirement community.
From wherever he was living with her.
I mean, what I've been in describing the movie and I've been differentiating from it being strictly autobiographical versus it being really personal. Because if I said it was entirely autobiographical, I'd end up like that guy James Fry, who wrote that book and you know showed up on Oprah and he defined it as a memoir and then he was got in a lot of trouble because he had freely fictionalized apparently. So this movie is. There's a lot of fiction, but the heart of the story is based on my personal experience with actually two family members, my grandmother and my father, who both were in nursing homes at the end of their life and both suffered from dementia. So in that aspect, there's a kind of personal autobiographical core, but I definitely take liberties as a, dramatist.
You know, I was telling a friend about your movie, The Savages, and I said something like, well, it's a movie about two adult children who are kind of estranged from each other, who get together to take care of the father they're kind of estranged from, who now has dementia and has to be taken to a nursing home.
And I said, I do not want to go see that movie.
And I said, and it's really funny. And they looked at me, they were so puzzled. And I thought, like, when you sat down and knew you were making a comedy, uh-huh. and it's not like a slapstick comedy, but, I mean, there's parts of it that are just, like, really funny. How do you figure out where the humor is in such a really sad situation?
I mean, I guess a couple things. I think it's a sort of sensibility that is kind of part of my DNA or the way that I see. And I don't really separate. I mean, the world separates comedies from tragedies and, you know, dramas from farces. But I actually think that if you are paying close attention in life, that you'll see that they actually are operating in stereo most of the time. If you kind of look underneath, you know, if you look under the tablecloth or look through the curtains, or, you know, if you're sort of attentive, you can kind of hear under tragedy is a kind of human farce happening also.
One of the scenes in the movie that I really love, and I think anybody who's had like a parent really sick in the hospital will recognize this moment. You walk into the hospital room and you don't know what to expect. You don't know what your parent is going to look like. And you walk in and you see your parent lying there with the oxygen and the IV, the urine bag with the fluids dripping into it. The TV's on, but nobody's listening or watching. And it's just this, like, horrible sinking feeling. And you just, like, visually capture that so perfectly. Can you talk a little bit about, like, shooting in a hospital and shooting that scene and what you wanted to show?
Well, we actually, at the beginning of the film, spent a lot of time in sort of abandoned hospitals that we obviously, you know, fixed up and production designed to make them look like they were functioning. But we did have a, you know, a lot of days, and we were clocking in many hours in abandoned hospitals and nursing homes. Or actually, I guess the nursing home that we used was a tiny little hospital that we then set decorated and made appear like a nursing home. So those are pretty bleak environments. They're not very glamorous locations. but it certainly sort of set the tone for the milieu of this movie. And in terms of the alienating, I mean, all those details that you just described, you know, the television sort of blaring into a room where the person's not even awake, or and that sort of alienation is, you know, something that I think anybody who's ever spent time in a hospital, you know, with a parent or themselves probably recognizes those sort of details. But they had sort of multiple layers of alienation. One is that they'd been sort of estranged from this father. But even when they were with the father, there was a kind of, you know, estrangement, an emotional neglect and an emotional estrangement. And then on top of it, there was this third layer of, you know, this dementia that was setting in. So there was a lot of layers of disconnection.
My guest is Tamara Jenkins, the writer and director of the new film, The Savages. Here's the scene we were just talking about. Wendy and John, played by Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman, are visiting their father in the hospital for the first time. His hands are in restraints to prevent him from pulling out his IV. The father is played by Philip Bosco.
Where the hell have you been?
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad. How are you?
How are you?
They have me hug tight for 2 days.
We got here as soon as we could. We came straight from the airport. It's John and Wendy.
I know who you are. The late ones. You're late. You are in here, and this is what they do. See?
Dad?
You aren't here, I said.
John, go get
somebody. Nobody.
Dad, we weren't here because we live on the East Coast, remember?
Yeah.
We haven't seen you in a long time, and we're here to help you.
So do something. You're the doctor.
I'm going to go get some money.
He's not that kind of doctor, Dad. He's a professor.
I thought my boy was a doctor.
Doctor of philosophy. PhD. He teaches college.
Medicine?
No. Drama. He teaches theater.
Like Broadway?
No, like theater of social unrest. Stuff like that.
One of the things the daughter has to do is fly with her father from Sun City, where he'd been living in a retirement community, to Buffalo, New York, where her brother teaches. And, you know, she's taking him to a nursing home in Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know from our previous interview that you flew with your father to assisted living or nursing home. I'm not sure which.
Right.
But what was your experience like flying with him on the plane? And how incapacitated was he at that point when you were flying with him? Like, that's such a difficult thing to do. And I think it's something so many people have faced. Making
it's a really difficult trip.
Yeah.
And it's kind of almost this invisible thing until you've had the experience. I don't think you quite. And now anytime I'm on an airplane and I feel like I see it all the time now. Like suddenly my, you know, eyes, I've woken up and I see that it's actually happening around me. And, you know, just sort of the difficulty of travel with an elderly person, either being accompanied by a family member or not. But that is definitely something that I had that I sort of ripped out of my own experience. And I think that I didn't quite, as, you know, Wendy doesn't quite understand the complexity of the task at hand. Besides the emotional impact of, you know, what she's doing, I don't think she even realizes sort of the physical burden of transporting someone who kind of can't take care of themselves. And I think the sort of gravity of that becomes more and more clear.
When your father had dementia, were there certain things that were like essential, deep parts of his personality that became more pronounced, even if they were different during his dementia period than they were before?
It was a very, with both of my family members who suffered from dementia, it almost felt like, sometimes it felt like an amplification of them in this, you know, like the volume sort of being turned up on aspects of their personality that might have been slightly more buried. It was very heightened, but it didn't feel unfamiliar, their behavior. But it was sort of at this high pitch.
And what was it for your father? Which qualities?
I think it was a kind of volatility that was always there that just seemed louder and more. The swings of it were sort of really strong and striking. But he was always sort of that sort of person, a kind of he would swing from moods and suddenly it would happen quite quickly and at a sort of a loud volume. And also that sort of interesting thing about someone with dementia where they're sort of retreat and you feel like they're not present and then they will just wow you with some zinger. Like, you didn't even know they were there. You didn't know that they were present. And then some, almost like a punchline comes flying through the night and you can't believe it. So my father was actually really funny and sometimes out of the blackness of dementia, he'd just say something and slay you.
Well, you cast Philip Bosco to play the father, and he's really terrific in the role. A very kind of crusty, sometimes bitter, and sometimes just like really, really sad. And I guess I'm curious what the audition was like, whether you just kind of said you got the role or whether there was an audition.
There was an audition, and I was very concerned about the casting of the part, and it was very important to me that he wasn't trivialized, that the character wasn't trivialized as a bastard with a twinkle in his eye. I just didn't want that cutification that I think often occurs with difficult old men, where mm-hmm. there's some sentimental streak in which either the author or the actor or a director or a combination of factors lead to some cute factor that, you know, just to make him sympathetic, to make the medicine go down. It just felt like that would be a disaster, and I wanted it to be very honest and blunt. And so I was reading people, and my casting director, Jeannie McCarthy, suggested Phil Bosco, and I was being a really dumb, literal director person, and I was thinking, oh, Phil Bosco, he plays judges and, you know, kind of well-heeled patriarchs, and he does Shaw, and he's too fancy. Anyway, in walks Phil Bosco, and he sat down in our little room, very small room where we were reading people, and he read with my casting director, and it was the scene in the diner where the kids ask him if you know, dad, you know, what would happen if you were in a coma? He says, what the hell kind of question is that? It's, you know, the place, the Valley View, they need it for their records. You know, what the hell kind of hotel is it? Dad, it's not a hotel. It's a nursing home. So he was reading the scene, and when Jeannie, who was playing opposite him, kind of, you know, reads the line, Dad, it's, you know, not a hotel, it's a nursing home. I think inside that pause, the way he was sort of absorbing that information was quite beautiful and stunning. And he wasn't, you know, cloying for he wasn't begging for sympathy. He was just blunt and tough and just playing it so truthfully and so straight. I really was kind of nuts for him, and I very unprofessionally leapt up and hugged him after his audition, and he kind of straightened himself up and started heading towards the door. And I think that he became very suspicious of what kind of movie is this. Directors don't usually leap up and hug people after readings. And he turned around on his way out, and he just to make sure that it wasn't some fly by night operation, he said, so Laura Linney and Philip Seymour Hoffman, they're attached to be in this, right? I think he thought, and I said, no, really, really, I swear, this is very professional. but I think he was suspicious, rightly so.
Well, I love that scene because, you know, as you say, he doesn't, like, play it for pathos or sympathy or anything. By the end of the scene, he's yelling at the two kids that they're idiots, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great scene. Why don't I play it?
Dad, we need to talk about a couple things.
But we don't want you to take it in the wrong way.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just it's a couple questions that'll make everything easier in the long run.
Okay. In the event that something should happen, How do you want us to,
Dad, what if you're in a coma?
John.
Would you want a breathing machine to keep you alive?
What kind of question is that?
Well, it's a question we should know, in case.
In case what?
In case something happens.
Nothing's gonna happen. Right now, nothing new.
Right, it's this procedure. It's something they want for their records.
Who?
The people who run the place, the Valley View.
What the hell kind of hotel is it?
Dad, it's not a hotel. It's a nursing home.
Unplug me.
What?
Pull the plug!
And that's Philip Seymour Hoffman, Laura Linney, and Philip Bosco in a scene from the new film The Savages, and Savage is the last name of the family. And my guest, Tamara Jenkins, is the writer and director of the film. She also made Slums of Beverly Hills. The children in your story, they're both writers. She's writing a semi-autobiographical play, or as she describes it, a subversive semi-autobiographical play. He's writing a book about Brecht, and their father just isn't like a book kind of guy. And you realize that there's probably a lot of things that they would never be able to really share. And I guess I'm interested in hearing why you wanted to create that kind of relationship on screen where the children's lives are so different from the parents. There's so much, even if he wasn't suffering from dementia, they wouldn't get about each other.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that has to do with what we were talking about before in terms of the estrangement being, you know, extra doubled up. And I mean, I feel like it's something I've seen, you know, in many relationships between parents and children, a kind of almost like foreignness, like, who are you? What have I wrought? And in my own experience, you know, I have three brothers who are professors, and I think that actually in my family, they're none of my parents were educated, and no one went to college, let alone having, you know, gone out and gotten PhDs and teaching at universities. So it was certainly something that I was familiar with, that sort of estranged, you know, just feeling like, you know, that you were from different planets to a certain extent. But I know that I'm not alone in that. I mean, I think that even, you know, parents and children that have more in common can often feel that their offspring or their parent, that nobody knows where the other person came from.
My guest is Tamara Jenkins. She wrote and directed the new film The Savages, about two adult siblings who put their elderly father in a nursing home. If this isn't too personal, I'm wondering what your father's funeral was like.
In real life?
Yeah.
It was intimate. It was in Philadelphia, which is where I was born and where he was born.
And where he once had a strip club, right?
Where he once had a strip club, yes. You're so well-researched. But yes, and so it was, you know, our family was there and some extended family was there. And it was quite intimate and actually in this beautiful little cemetery, which now I can't remember the name of, but it's right in the middle of the city. It was, and it was quite, I remember it being very overcast and it was like this idyllic little cemetery. It was quite lovely. I wish I could remember the name of the cemetery. I know I have it at home, but you know, it was very moving.
You know, in the scene in the diner that we played from The Savages,
yes.
The children ask their father. They can't figure out how to ask him exactly, but they finally get around to asking, like, so, do you want life support, and what happens after you die? Did you know what your father's wishes were for a funeral? If he wanted to be buried or cremated, if he you know, like what kind of funeral
we did
he
no
wanted?
We knew that he wanted to be buried, and he was also in World War II, so you know there was a flag over the casket because he was a sergeant in World War II, so there was a veterans element to the proceedings, and it was a plot near other family members, so he knew where he was going.
Was it,
he held on to that paperwork for a long time.
Do you have children?
No.
And the reason why I ask is, knowing that you had a kind of challenged relationship with your father, that you were estranged for a long time, and that, you know, to judge from the movie, from both of your movies, he wasn't a traditional parent, wasn't traditional in his parenting style. For some people, that would make them really want to become a parent and feel like, I'm going to do it right, you know.
Right.
And others would say, like, you know, families are difficult. I think I'll stay away from having one of my own.
Right.
And I guess I'm curious how it affected you and your choices.
I'm married, and we're actually pursuing a family, but we're definitely on the late side of that. we'll be older parents. But, you know, I do think that it can create a delay or, you know, a rejection. But in my case, I certainly haven't rejected parenthood, and it's something that I'm actively pursuing. And but, you know, I didn't get married until I was 40. So I'm sort of on the slow boat approach to maturation, but I'm planning on it.
And your husband, I should mention, is Jim Taylor, who is a screenwriting partner with Alexander Payne, and they work together on About Schmidt and Sideways. Did you have, like, a film meeting? You know, like, did you meet through film?
We actually had a kind of a cute meet, as they say in the old-time movie business about romantic comedies. But our cute meet was I went to NYU Graduate Film School, and when I was leaving NYU Graduate Film School, Jim Taylor was entering. And he has said that the reason that he went to NYU Film School, or one of the reasons, was that they had shown my short films. You know, they'll show people's past work and as an example of the kind of work that's coming out of the program. And so his story is that he fell in love with my shorts first, and then we met, and then he liked me. But for some reason, his name is Jim Taylor, so I never would remember his name. And he said that he tried to introduce himself to me over the course of 10 years. And every time he introduced himself to me, that I would never remember who he was. But obviously, now I remember because we're married.
When did he finally make an impression on you?
I guess it was like 7 years ago or something. We met on a subway car heading up. I was on my way to Lincoln Center to see a movie. It was a Friday night, and I was going to see Come and See by Klimov, a very bleak movie, a great, great film. And he was on the subway, and he was on. I said, "Where are you going?" And he said that he was on his way to his shrink. And I thought, oh my God, this guy's going to a shrink on a Friday night. He's very interesting. He's perfect for me. I was impressed.
Well, congratulations on the movie. And I hope now that you're married that your husband isn't spending more Friday nights at the shrink.
No, now we're in couples therapy. So it's all working out quite well.
Thanks so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Tamara Jenkins wrote and directed the new film, The Savages. It opens in select cities tomorrow. You can download podcasts of our show on our website, freshair.npr.org.